Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. Thanks so much for being with us today. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and this hour we're discussing science. You're not one of those people who believes, I don't know, the propaganda, I suppose, that the Catholic Church of the Middle Ages kind of kept the world mired in ignorance and superstition until modern science arose to restore people to reason. Are you one of those? Well, maybe you're one of those folks who doesn't believe that. And it is propaganda, but you would like the real story of the relationship between the Catholic Church and science, please give us a call, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Our topic this hour, are Catholics anti-science? Many people do, in fact, believe that. As a matter of fact, I would say it's probably one of the most common bits of propaganda in the world today. We hear this, it's even got a name, I suppose. It's called the conflict theory of science, which is that science is in conflict somehow with religion, and that religion almost always turns out to be Christianity, and in particular, the Catholic. You know what? I'll hold off on that. I shouldn't say in particular the Catholic Church, because it is true that the primary place where people see that conflict is in the fundamentalist churches that take a literal reading of the Bible, of every verse of the Bible, to be a requirement of a good Christian, and therefore they do, in fact, see a conflict between Genesis, the book of Genesis, and the theories of evolution. Other than that, however, there are very few areas of conflict, and for Catholics, that is not a particular area of conflict because, in fact, we are able to say, well, we read the passages of the Bible in different ways. Some passages of the Bible are just simply history. For example, the stories of the resurrection of Jesus, just simply straightforward history. Some are history that's told through images. The story of Adam and Eve, or the story of the two stories at the beginning of Genesis, they are in fact stories of real things that really happened. God did really create the earth. He really did create the sun and the moon, and he really did create us. But they are not scientific stories about how God did that. They are stories about that God did that, and that God saw that it was good. But they are not necessarily stories about how that was done. 888-318-7884 is the number. I will repeat once again, 888-318-7884. Are Catholics anti-science? That is our question for the day. Our guest this hour is Dr. Stacy Trisankos. Dr. Trisankos earned a bachelor's degree in science from East Texas State University, a doctorate in chemistry from Penn State University, and a master's degree in dogmatic theology from Holy Apostles College and Seminary. She's the author of Science Was Born of Christianity, the teaching of Father Stanley L. Jocke, and more recently, of the book Particles of Faith, A Catholic Guide to Navigating Science. She and her husband, Jose, have 7 children, and they just moved back to Texas. Dr. Stacy Trisankos, thank you for being with us today on Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, thank you so much for having me back on.
Are you settled there in Texas now?
Yes, I'm settled. We're doing good. Everything is in, and I was so excited to do video today so I could show you my new office.
Oh, and we're having video trouble today.
I can't get my Skype to work.
Well, it may not be your Skype. It could be our. Skype just doesn't. It's not perfect. Let's put it that way.
It's not cooperating.
No, yes. Sometimes it doesn't cooperate. So you chose the topic for today. Are Catholics anti-science? And maybe you could say a little bit about why you chose that as our. We always talk about with you when we have you on, which is always wonderful. We always talk to you about science and faith, some aspect of it. Why particularly did you pick our Catholics anti-science for today?
Because I hear that, that's something you hear so often in the secular media, And it's something that I find a lot of Catholics, it seems like, always defending. And I would like to see that change. I would like to see us move past defending that and into actually leading where science goes in the future. Especially after, so that was prompted by the March for Science that took place in Chicago back in April with Bill Nye, the science guy. There were a whole lot of articles published, and, you know, it got a lot of media attention when he held that March for Science. And sort of the same old tired, you know, the religious people are against science, all of that bubbled back to the surface, and there was a lot of talk about it. And I would really like to just take a step back and look at that whole thing that was going on, because what I saw was, okay, Bill Nye, the science guy, maybe it's irritating to some people, but he wasn't really saying anything that awful. If you just kind of, I don't know, psychoanalyze what was going on, I actually see them sitting back on their haunches saying, you know, kind of taking a defensive position, like, we're the scientists and the public is against us and there's this anti-science agenda and we have to stand together and support science. And it was a call for people to stand up and make the scientific evidence heard. And it's not all that different from sometimes you hear Catholics talking about it. We're not anti-science and we have to take a stand. I actually think that if we sort of played the alpha here, if the Catholics and Christians started playing the alpha and just started going forward, like, look, guys, science is wonderful. Science is science. It's good to march for science. It's good that we have science. It's good that we as a human race are investigating the universe and trying to learn more about our world. But sit down and listen, because there's much more to the story. It's not just, you know, if you just say, I love science, and you leave it there, it's kind of like when you hold your newborn baby and you look at the Apgar scores and that's it. That's all I'm going to know about my child. There's so much more passion and meaning and truth when you can combine theology and science and philosophy, when you can look at the bigger picture. And what I think is going on with a lot of the secular arena in science is there are a whole lot of people that are trained in science and a whole lot of people talking about science who aren't even trained in science, but there aren't a whole lot of those people who are trained in philosophy and theology as well. And what I see on the flip side in all these other wonderful Catholic organizations, like Dr. Stephen Barr's, the Society for Catholic Scientists, held their meeting in Chicago at the same time. What I see among the Catholic and the Christian circles are a lot of people who know about science and who know about philosophy and who know about theology and who can dialogue competently in all three areas. And there's a vibrant, growing, booming dialogue among faith and science. And it's not at all focused on our Catholics anti-science. It's focused on, look what we're learning about the universe. Look what we're learning about ourselves. What does this mean? Like, what does this mean for all of us to be human? And instead of dividing people, it's uniting people. Like, it's uniting, it's bringing Protestants and Catholics together to talk about these things. And it's bringing, I think we should bring in the people who are at the March for Science and say, come here. If you think that's awesome, let us tell you the bigger truth. Because science is just to chip off the old block, to borrow one of Father Yaki's phrases. It's part of the creation of God. It's a study of the creation of God. But there's so much more to the meaning and purpose in life than that. And, you know, my thing is to inspire young people to be those alpha leaders in the future. So that's what I wanted to talk about.
888-318-7884 is the number. Are Catholics anti-science is the topic. Dr. Stacy Trisankos is our guest this hour. 888-318-7884 is the number. I was struck by that, by that March for Science and all the coverage that it got, because it. And I think you're very gracious. I mean, your comments about Bill Nye are gracious, because I don't think he always is gracious to people who. Take a different view of the universe, not a different scientific view, but a different philosophical view than he takes. He's very pro-choice person. He's a very secularized person, I would say. But when you see that march, there it seemed to me that there was just a tinge, and I wanted to see what you thought about this. Just a tinge of we're standing up for science because it's really the only way to know stuff.
Yeah. And that's frustrating, but you know, and he does get, I guess, ugly or antagonistic towards people of faith, but to me, that's just kind of like, whatever, you know, if somebody's being a bully, it's like, whatever, I get it. You got to be like that, fine. I got better things to do. And when he says things like that, I mean, okay, maybe we're not going to talk to him. Maybe we are. But all the people that are listening to him, it's like we have such a much better story. We can say, when he's talking about the awe and wonder in the universe, I'm not talking about the pro-choice stuff and all that, but when he's talking about how wonderful it is to study the universe, we can say that too. It's just that he's got nothing. He's got no reason to say why we want to study science, and he's got no reason for where we're going with science. All he's got is, let's march for science. But he doesn't know where he came from. He doesn't know where he's going with it all. And a Catholic does. A Catholic, you know, sees the ontology and the teleology all in one big package. And we know this all came from God. We know it's all being held in existence by God. And we know that the point of life is to get to heaven. And so that really situates our love for science with a lot more meaning. So I would just like another voice to be out there. Like, I don't really, personally, I don't even care about refuting him sometimes. It's like, say what you're going to say. I don't care. People are going to listen, whatever. We see that we have a better story, and I would love for it to just be out there more and more and more competing with this emptiness they talk about.
Lots of calls stacking up. We got to take a quick break, and then we will get to those calls for Dr. Stacy Trisenkos. Our topic today, are Catholics anti-science? We'll be right back with more on Catholic Answers Live.
Every question is important. Ask yours today on Catholic Answers Live.
The Jewish Sabbath or the Christian Sunday? What exactly is the Lord's Day? This is Tim Staples, and I'll give you the facts you need to know in the next issue of Catholic Answers Magazine. Want to be sure to get your copy? Subscribe right now to the best Catholic apologetics magazine anywhere by calling 888-291-8000 or going to Catholic.com. Jimmy Akin on evaluating claims in the Papal Rumor Net, Carlo Broussard on the likelihood of miracles, plus a very special look back at the history of the modern apologetics movement by our founder, Carl Keating. Just a few of the articles you can look forward to in our next issue. Don't wait another moment to subscribe. Call 888-291-8000 or go to the shop at Catholic.com right now to get subscriptions for yourself and those you love. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine. From Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In John 15:12, Jesus said to his disciples, "This is my commandment, love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." He said that he called them friends because he had told them everything he had heard from the Father. "It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit." You who are listening, you exist. You are who you are by His deliberate choice. Everything about you, your personality, your talents, your limitations, the grace that enables you to believe, your volatile temper, your disordered sexuality, your penchant for control, or whatever your cross happens to be, everything is a matter of His design. He has disclosed Himself to you and has given you His very life. What do you choose in reply? Is there any good in your life that you could possibly withhold from it? I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884.
This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We're talking science with our favorite scientist, Dr. Stacey Trusenko's here with us today. And our question for the day is, are Catholics anti-science? If you have questions about how faith and science, particularly the Catholic faith and science, go together, we'd love to take those calls. 888-318-7884. Stacey, as I was saying, that we have a lot of calls. Do you want to just dig right into them? You feel comfortable with that?
Sure.
All righty.
Yeah.
We go to Katie in Lincoln, Nebraska, listening on KVSS. Katie, your question for Dr. Trusenko's.
Hi there. Just to let you know, I'm a high school chemistry teacher and a practicing Catholic, and have done a lot of study and tried to understand and, like, am on board. My question is that it seems like, even though the church knows that she is not anti-science, and in fact, like, is a huge umbrella, that things like Theology on Tap and sessions at conferences and different even series put on by dioceses are still labeled like the church and science, like, what about that? Or, you know, like something like that, that mm-hmm. still pits them against each other, like as a tactic to get people there. But I'm wondering whether you think that is helpful, because people who don't ever come, like, are still left just kind of assuming that there's some sort of opposition.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And see, I'm guilty because that was the title for this show today, Are Catholics Anti-Science, to get attention. But, you know, I do think you're right. Like, I think there should be other ways to talk about it. Like, one thing I like to say is, if you really understood the periodic table, you would get down on your hands and your knees and weep for joy, thanking God for all of those elements. And it's a packed statement. I had a title once that I gave a talk to a high school, Science Without Faith is Like Eyeballs Without a Face. And, you know, I agree with you. I'm trying to move myself more into titles that just show how science enriches our faith. And it would be great to have more things like that. But, you know, I'll be honest, I also am like, well, will anybody want to come hear that? Will anybody think it's great? Like, it's almost like, do you feel this way too? It's almost like I want to have a new chemistry class for all those adults who hate chemistry, because I just want to, like, come here and sit down and let's look at this, thinking about the creed, and let's just look at how awesome it is that these electrons do the things that they do, and that we can predict how to make materials and technology so well just by understanding that. So I think that's a great idea that you said, that different titles.
Katie, do you teach in a public school or a Catholic school? Oh, Katie, are you there with us?
Yes, I am still there. Yes.
You teach in a public school or a Catholic school?
A public school.
Oh, so you're not able to do that kind of setting the table for students. But do you find that students come in with a preconceived notion about where science fits and how science is supposed to work, as far as, you know, maybe it being the only way that we can actually know things for sure and that kind of thing? Did I lose Katie? Okay, Stacey, I'm sorry, I think we lost Katie. So we'll go to Michelle in Salem, Oregon, watching on YouTube. Hi, Michelle. We got a lot of folks watching on YouTube and Facebook and Periscope, and we're happy when they call. Michelle, your question for Dr. Trusenko's.
Hi, thank you. I was just wondering what the Catholic perspective is on the possibility of extraterrestrial life, UFOs, and maybe all of the history we have on UFO chasers here in America.
I think the church is open to the possibility that could be discovered someday. And like the director of the Vatican Observatory, Brother Guy Consolmagno, he has a book, Would You Baptize an Alien? So I know there are people, scientists and theologians, who are already thinking about, what do we do if life on other planets is discovered? So I think that's probably the best way to sum up the church's position right now. If there's life on other planets ever discovered, we want to be ready and have thought about some of the questions about whether they're intelligent, whether there is intelligent life forms or not. As for all the UFO chasers, I don't know. I think it's best to leave that search for extraterrestrial life to the experts. But just as far as if there was ever discovered, there would be theologically a way to deal with it.
Michelle,
that's great. Yeah, I was just curious because I grew up Protestant and I'm now becoming Catholic, and
yay.
I find there's huge difference in thinking, and one of those things is science. I remember in youth group there was someone who said, "No, there can't be. It's impossible for them to be because something about." And I don't remember what his reasoning was, but I just kind of I felt like a lot of people, especially in high school, got turned away from the church of Christianity because there was this like hard line of you either believe in science or Christianity. You mm-hmm. couldn't really have both. And that was one of those that for me, I thought, no, I disagree. So it's really great to hear that there's a different view in the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michelle, I would say it goes the other way too, though. And I wonder if you experience this, Stacey, that there are people who are turned off from science by that. Who will, when they're given the choice, they'll choose the church. And there are people who are, but if you're given a choice, you got to pick one or the other. You're kind of forced mm-hmm. into a situation. Is that where you felt, Michelle?
I kind of was strong headed and thought, well, I just disagree. I think there can be both, but I actually know quite a few people who they just totally reject Christianity because they feel like there's no way it blends because they haven't mm-hmm. been exposed to Christians who think both ways.
Yeah.
Or who are open to both things, yeah.
And there are a lot of Christians that think both ways. I mean, I'm involved in more and more projects every day to the point where I'm having to say no to things. But actually with some Protestant groups, one at BioLogos contacted me last week. And even the American Academy for the Advancement of Science, AAAS, has a dialogue on science and religion that's headed up by a former senior astrophysicist at NASA from Harvard. They're furthering this dialogue between faith and science. It's not pick one or the other. It's look how much more fuller we can consider things if you have both. I would recommend... I recommend Brother Guy Consolmagno's book, Would You Baptize an Alien? I think you would enjoy that in light of the question that you ask. And also maybe look at Stephen Barr's website for the Society of Catholic Scientists. He was telling me last week that he started this group last July, not even a year ago. He's already got 400 members.
Wow.
And it's limited to working to scientists, to actual scientists who are PhDs in the field. And they're hungry. That's his word. They are hungry to have a place to come together and talk because they don't want to just talk about science and they don't want to just talk about their faith. They want to talk about them both together. And that organization is going to grow. It's the Society for Catholic Scientists. It's online. You can read about the recent conference. There's a lot of people out there like that, though.
Michelle, thanks very much for that thoughtful call. Can I suggest a book to you as well?
Yeah, thank you.
I don't remember the author, but it's called Particles of Faith, A Guide to Navigating Science. Oh, yeah. It's by Dr. Stacey Tresankos. You might pick that one up. It's very good. Michelle, thanks. It was great talking with you. Thank you very much for calling. 888-318. Oh, I'm sorry. Stacey, you were going to say something?
Thank you to Michelle.
Yeah, it's encouraging, but that is I think we have to admit that is a problem within our Christian community, the wider Christian community, and sometimes within the Catholic community itself is forcing young people into a choice between science and their faith.
Yeah, don't do that. I think that's just like I never thought that. I came to Catholicism as a scientist. I mean, science pointed me there and I really didn't get this pick one or the other, but I've started to get my head around it because I've started to listen to people and hear people talk. All I can say is don't do that. Don't teach kids that. Let's stop right now.
888-318-7884 is the number. Catholic Answers Live is the program. And our topic today, are Catholics anti-science? you got a question about, maybe you want to challenge it. Maybe it's not just a question. Maybe you want to challenge us on this. We're happy to take that challenge. We will try to do so gracefully and gratefully. 888-318-7884. We'll be right back with more on Catholic Answers Live.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to
why
a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Tonight, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
This is apologist Tim Staples, and I'm here to tell you about a truly unique resource just out from Catholic Answers Press. In Scripture, Jesus answered his critics again and again by using their own words against them, showing how even the enemies of the faith admitted crucial facts that undermined their own position. And it's been that way through the ages. It's proved impossible for those out to destroy the faith to mount their attacks without tripping themselves up and inadvertently testifying to the truth of what they're trying to destroy. In his new book, Hostile Witnesses, How the Historic Enemies of the Church Prove Christianity, best-selling author Gary Machuda looks at dozens of Christianity's most notorious foes from biblical times through the 20th century and draws from their antagonistic words and deeds surprising testimony to gospel truths. From the Pharisees to the Nazis, from the Crusades to the Reformation, he presents a parade of skeptics, heretics, pagan powers, and rival sects, each taking a turn in the witness's chair and giving an unexpected but compelling account in favor of Christ. If you love apologetics, you need to order your copy of Hostile Witnesses today by calling 1-888-291-8000. That's 888-291-8000, or by visiting the shop at Catholic.com or asking for it at a Catholic bookstore in your area.
Welcome back to this Friday edition of Catholic Answers Live. So happy you're with us. We always try to save some really good stuff for Friday. So this Friday we got Carlo Broussard coming in. Second hour, what are the obstacles to you becoming a Catholic? What's keeping you from joining the Catholic Church, becoming a brother and sister with us in the Catholic faith? Carlo's great on that. And you know what? The nice thing about Carlo, too, he's fired up. He's always fired up on Fridays. He carries us right to the end of the week, all fired up. This hour, we're having a great conversation, got lots of calls. We're going to get to them very quickly here. Dr. Stacey Trusankos, our favorite scientist. That's my new title for you. Our favorite scientist, chemist and theologian and philosopher and teacher and mother and rodeo participant. As well. As a matter of fact, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but you were just saying to me at the break that you might go to the rodeo tonight.
And yep. I might go. I have my hat right here.
Oh, you are ready.
I'm ready. Yeah, it's right up the road.
Uh-huh. And you're not the clown, though.
No.
You're not the rodeo.
No.
That's a tough job, isn't it? Rodeo clown?
Yeah, it's a tough job. I did at the last rodeo get out there and chase a cow, though. And yeah. It had a ribbon with $200 on its head. I almost got it.
Then we never would have heard from you again. You'd be like, I'm in the money. I don't have to do that Catholic Answers gig. All right. Well, loads of calls. So how about we go back to them?
Okay.
Anthony in Sacramento, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Your question for Dr. Stacey Trusankos.
Yeah, I get a lot of flack for believing in the possibility of evolution. What's the church's stance on that? And I see a lot of, a lot of evidence for it. But every time, people say, "Oh, there's no evidence for it," blah blah blah, yada yada yada. But go ahead.
Yeah, there's a lot of evidence for evolution. Evolution is undeniable these days. There's so much evidence from different angles, like not just the fossil record, but radiometric dating and the genetic clock, and just reasoning through it, like how did the diversity of species we have today come to be? And evolutionary theory is a very strong theory. I don't ever use the words "I believe in it." I just say it like that. It's a theory with a lot of support, a lot of evidence. It makes sense. The current cutting-edge research on evolutionary theory is not throwing that to the side, like genetic drift and mutation, it's adding to it. It's adding to Darwinian evolution. So, okay, Darwinian evolution doesn't explain everything. There's more to it. There's a Catholic working on it. I've got so many tabs open on my screen. But in the Society for Catholic Scientists, there's a Catholic working on evolution who is adding in part of the story as cooperation. Like, was there some kind of cooperation between species and animals as they evolved? There are people asking questions about language and intelligence and when that first appeared. Like, they think language, the way we have language now, may have appeared even within just one generation. So there's so much going forward with that. And the church's position on it is, it's okay to talk and to study that science and to learn about it. You never can deny the truths of our faith. You cannot deny, you couldn't say evolution proves we don't have a soul, but we're not going to do that anyway. You can't say evolution proves there is no God, that this just all happened by random chance. We don't do that anyway. We say God created everything, and oh, wait, how did the species evolve to be what they are today? So we have a very healthy view of it. And you really have nothing to fear when you look at it that way. And when you understand that we also don't have all the answers. We'll probably never understand from a chemical standpoint how the first living thing appeared, atom by atom. We'll probably never understand that. But it's reasonable to assume that life emerged from inanimate matter because we're made of atoms. So the church has a very open mind on that. You're not required to believe one way or the other about the science, but you're certainly allowed to investigate the science and actually encouraged to see what that tells us about what life means and what it means to be human.
Anthony, how does that strike you?
That was an awesome answer. I'm going to point a lot of people back to this podcast the next time they give me grief on it. But I got to tell you, I believe you're in the minority, or we're in the minority as far as having that kind of mindset on it. But no, that was great.
Maybe
you are now my favorite scientist also.
All right. All right. So you're just building up fans, Stacey. Thanks, Anthony, for that call. And if you want to send somebody to listen to the show, you can just go to Catholic.com. They're all archived there very quickly at Catholic.com. And we also stream on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and Periscope, and they archive them. So you can usually get them pretty quick there as well. We go now to Michelle in New Orleans, listening on Catholic Community Radio. Michelle, your question for Dr. Stacey Trisankos.
Hi,
Michelle.
My question is, a lot of my friends who have left the church because of science reasons, it always comes back, it seems to me, that they're good with the whole moral evil thing, but they don't understand the problem of natural evil. And the way I currently understand it, my question is this. The way I currently understand it, the Catholic Church teaches that before the fall of Adam and Eve, the world did not have disease, disorder, death, and that sort of thing, and after it did. So how do you reconcile that with evolution and the way the universe works, and we assume has always worked, where this sort of death and life thing is how the world is ordered rather than that being a disordered function?
Yeah, there's an answer for that, actually, because I have children and they want to know things like that, and you have to have good answers to give them. The death of things that aren't human, it's okay to accept that those things naturally died. St. Thomas Aquinas even covers this. There's a natural death because death is natural for dinosaurs or cats or whatever other animals there ever were. The fall and not dying applied to humans, created in the image and likeness of God. And we were, when Adam and Eve were created in the grace, they were not going to die. But then the fall was applying to humans. Okay, it didn't mean that nothing before them ever died, or that maybe there were dinosaurs and they never died, or bacteria never died, or other animals never died. It was specifically to humans, and that's actually covered, like in older theological documents too. Like if I look up in Ludwig Ott's Fundamentals of Catholic Dogma, because he lists those things and he goes through those questions and lists who's talked about it. And that's the theological opinion, which means it's a legitimate opinion, but there's no like doctrine or dogma saying that we have to believe that. But that's how it's explained by the theologians.
Okay, Michelle?
Yeah, that's helpful. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Michelle. Appreciate that. Gabriel in Salem, Massachusetts, your question for Dr. Stacy Trisenkos.
Oh, hi. Well, thank you for taking my call. I had a question. Now, look, I'm Catholic. I love my faith. But one of the things I've noticed is we don't have a lot of things people to point at so that we can act as cheerleaders for them. So I guess the question to you is, are there any priests, because I know there are priests out there that are PhDs, they're very learned men. But is there somebody that I, as a Catholic, when I communicate to a layperson, insofar as what Catholicism has contributed to the secular world, like a priest that, you know, maybe not an Albert Einstein, but something I could put out there that people could recognize, or if not recognize, I could tell them about, and they could plug it into their everyday lives, because I find that when I talk about science with some people, their eyes glaze over. So, you
okay.
know, just that, with that being said.
That's a great question, actually, Gabriel. And it's a lot easier to answer than you might think, because there are literally hundreds of answers to that question. Stacey, how would you answer it?
There are a lot of answers. There's a list. So this is a really popular Wikipedia page. I've seen it all over the internet. It's a list of Catholic cleric scientists. So it's priests, but it's also friars and
monks.
Monks. And it's got I think it's like 200 long, but these are historical. So I'll post that in one of the Facebook comments or something after we're done. There's that Wikipedia page, and it's long, and it's got all of these. I also wrote a book based on Father Stanley Yawkey's work called Science Was Born of Christianity. There were a whole lot of scholars involved in the rise of science in the early universities. And then as far as today, which is a very active field I work in right now, getting the message out today, who are the PhD scientists who are openly Catholic? I go back to Stephen Barr's Society of Catholic Scientists. I was trying to think of that name a while ago. I didn't have it in front of me. I didn't want to say it wrong. But Martin Nowak at Harvard University, he is an evolutionary biologist and a working PhD scientist. Corinne Uberg is also an astrochemist at Harvard University who is a Catholic convert. She's a rising star in her field. Dr. Stephen Barr himself is a physicist at the University of Delaware. There's Stephen Meredith at the University of Chicago, and there's Dr. Kenneth Miller, who wrote the biology textbooks that is the number one high school textbook in the United States in secular high schools, and also at the school where I work. So there's a lot of them. And Dr. Stephen Barr's working on that. I keep saying that Society of Catholic Scientists because I was talking to him last week. He's got 400 people who signed up already. So there are a lot of people, and he's helping them have a voice just for people like you when you want to point to something and somebody says Catholics can't be scientists. Oh, yes, they can. Oh, and the Vatican Observatory. Look up that website, too.
Now, Gabriel, is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, it's just because what I find is you know, if you're, you know, in the backyard barbecue, you're talking about yourself and you just say Catholicism, there's this whole mindset of what a Catholic is and what they're supposed to be. But when I bring up little interesting tidbits, this will be another thing that I can add to my arsenal and hopefully get people on board.
Can I ask you, Stacey, while we have Gabriel, about two figures in the history of science?
Yeah.
First being Gregor Mendel, because I think if someone says, oh, there's no great Catholic scientists, I mean, what about Gregor Mendel?
Yeah, Gregor Mendel, I have it pulled up here. Let's see. So genetics. He, you know, he's the one that was doing the pea plant experiments and came up understanding how genes and traits could be passed on. So he was studying that, and he's considered the, I don't want to say it if it's not right, the father of modern Gregor Mendel. Yeah, Augustinian monk and father of genetics. I didn't want to say that without actually reading it. He's considered the father of genetics. I mean, think about that, how enormous that is. And also Father Georges Lemaître, who is the person who came up with the idea that we now call the Big Bang, that everything evolved from, talk about evolution, that everything evolved from this primeval atom, and that matter began evolving from that to the universe that we have today. And that's the prevailing cosmological theory to explain how the universe began. Those are just two, and there are a whole lot more. I mean, even in the Middle Ages, when I was there's a little known Catholic priest. I say little known because I just find that most people don't know about it. Father Jean Buridan, who was a rector at the University of Paris, he came up with this impetus theory that it's not in textbooks, but I always tell my students about it. He came up with an impetus theory, which was the precursor to Newtonian mechanics. And the church is not just like we can be scientists. They are like the mother of science, like gave birth to science. Science arose under the nurturing worldview of Catholicism.
So, Gabriel, if you want to look up Gregor Mendel or George, you say Lemaître. Lemaître? Lemaître.
Lemaître. Yeah, it's hard to say.
Yeah, because it's French. But
yeah.
Do you know the two of them, Gabriel?
Yes. No, this is incredible. I'm really glad that you guys brought this up as a subject because it's so important nowadays. And like I said, it kind of, I don't want to say it humanizes the whole Catholic faith, but it makes it maybe a little more accessible to people who don't believe. So thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Gabriel. Thanks very much for that call. More calls to come, but we got to take a quick break on Catholic Answers Live. Stacey Trasenkos is our guest this hour. Our Catholics Anti-Science is our question for the hour. 888-318-7884 is the number. We'll be right back with more on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, this is Archbishop Alexander Sample of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. Keep that dial right here on Catholic Answers Live.
As legend tells it, 500 years ago, a disaffected Augustinian priest nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Wittenberg Cathedral. The evidence that he actually did this is pretty thin, but Martin Luther's objections to Catholic teachings concerning purgatory and indulgences set off a series of countless ruptures that the Church suffers to this very day. The faithful Catholic wants to be God's instrument in healing these ruptures, but may not know where to begin. Join us this September 28th to 30th as we tackle the topic at Catholic Answers' 4th National Apologetics Conference, the Reunion of All Christians, a lively and inspiring conference designed to ignite and inform your faith. We've got an all-star lineup of speakers guaranteed to fire you up. Catholic historian Steve Weidenkopf, apologist Mark Brumlin, apologist Devin Rose, plus all of your favorite Catholic Answers apologists. This is an event you don't want to miss. This is where it all begins. Join us this September for a conference that is sure to leave you wanting more. Seats are still available, but they're going fast. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 1-888-291-8000 today to register. That's CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Homeschool Connections has recently formed a partnership featuring a dual enrollment program with Franciscan University of Steubenville. Our website is homeschoolconnections.com. We are a proud sponsor of Catholic Answers Live.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is that now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking new resource by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith.
Don't miss out on the most important, life-changing book to come along in years. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Are Catholics anti-science? Dr. Stacey Trusenko is our guest this hour. Tons and tons of calls. I was just saying to Stacey that we could easily do 2 hours on this. We're never going to get to all these calls, so I'm going to just kind of move through them quickly here for this last segment. Dr. Trusenko's, we go now to Jerry in Cleveland, Ohio, listening on The Rock. Jerry, your question for Dr. Trusenko's.
Hi, I'm so glad I got through. Well, mine's kind of a question that goes along with my comment. My question is, you know, how can people not really understand when human life begins? I'm 65 years old. I went to Catholic grade school. I learned in grade school that human life begins at the moment of conception. Fast forward to the 70s and women's lib, and we are hearing people in the media who are, you know, for the most part, you know, very intelligent people, mm-hmm. saying things like, well, we really don't know when human life begins.
Right.
And I'm thinking, wait a minute, this is science. I learned this in grade school.
Right.
You know, and also in Catholic high school, there was a question in biology class. We had a nun who taught that class. She got a question about evolution, and is this contrary to Catholic teaching? And she said, no, Catholicism and evolution go hand in hand. You know, people don't seem to understand either that God created science.
Exactly.
Well, he created nature. That's everything. Yeah. And science studies nature. Jerry, okay, let's let Dr. Trusenko's respond.
Yeah, I mean, of course, science says life begins at fertilization. I mean, there's no other answer that makes sense for that. I mean, I always point out to people, nobody argues about the beginning of life for spiders or monkeys or frogs. It's like you understand that there's a beginning to their life, and that's when they begin to exist as an organism. It's the same for humans. I think people who argue that point, they just kind of not need to be debated with. They just need to be set straight. Like, really? Is that all you got? Because, of course, life begins at the moment of fertilization. And we call that conception. And I actually sometimes tell people also, I use that as an opportunity to say, you know, conception is a faith and science word, okay? It's not really a scientific word, but that's okay. I'm not afraid to say that it's a unity of faith and science, because my faith tells me that as human beings, we have infinite worth and moral worth, and that we've got to take that hard stand that all of us humans have that worth. We all have the dignity of life that God gave us. And, oh, by the way, the zygote is the youngest among us, and tie it together with both the science and that. And what we have going, so yes, it is. Science does support that. The people who say it doesn't, I, you know, just kind of tell them, you know, you're being ridiculous. But most of the people, like, there are plenty of pro-choice people, scientists, who fully acknowledge that that is the beginning of life, who fully acknowledge that a human embryo is a human organism, who don't care whether we call it person or not. They still support the research on it. And those are the hard cases. Those are the people who say it's a human, it just doesn't have any moral worth. And the thing that's going on right now, though, I did an interview with a writer, a science writer at PBS about a month ago, because she was investigating this 14-day rule, which is sort of the current issue of our time. They've been able to synthesize human organisms in the lab, or they think they're almost able to, and can sustain them alive on a slide, a microscope slide, for more than 14 days. And the ethical issue, the concern on the table now is, should we be doing this? Well, guess who they're looking to for advice? Catholics. The other, there was a priest who was interviewed with me, Father Tad, how do you say his
Pahulchik.
Last name?
Tad Pahulchik,
I don't want to say it wrong. He was also interviewed, and they're asking Catholics, Wait, why do you say what you say? They're listening now. Because the scientist doing this, his name is Briven Liu. He himself is saying, there's something beautiful and mesmerizing here that I see in my research. This is one of the toughest decisions of my life. I might have to pull the plug on this project. So there's people are listening to us.
Jerry, thank you very, very much for that call. And it never hurts to repeat this. There is no scientific question about this. It's 100 years that we have known this, how the beginning of an organism happens. It's not a scientific question. Let's go to John in Indianapolis, Indiana, listening on 89.1 FM. John, your question for Dr. Trisankos.
Sure. Good evening. Thanks for taking my call. I actually kind of disturbed to hear about evolution because every science requires scientific method to be proven. And basically, I don't know if professor could give me one example of one species changing into another species. There is no such evidence. Therefore, evolution is just a belief like any other beliefs.
Okay. I'm gonna have to get you something on that that's written out, because that's not like the biology of it's not my expertise. But yeah, there are plenty examples of one species becoming another. There are articles that are written up and have the evidence. Why wouldn't you accept that, though? Like, why don't people accept that? Why can you not accept that new species arise? I mean, we see species go extinct. We see diversity of life like we have now. I mean, if you can't accept that species arise from other species, like, I mean, I would just point to everything living right now as a piece of evidence. Like, where did all those things come from? In a way, they're all transitional fossils because we're all our own unique organism. But why can't you believe that? If there are species now and they're all different, it's not that wild to believe that they evolved over time. If you don't accept that, like if you say, I can't accept microevolution, I can accept microevolution, but I can't accept macroevolution, even though they're the same thing. It's the difference in a trickle of water and the Grand Canyon. You're left with the conclusion of saying the way the diversity of life came to be today is that God must have said, here's a miracle, here's a miracle, here's a miracle, here's a miracle. And that's a really dangerous position to put yourself in, because you're literally in the position of saying, I just can't believe God could have made organisms to evolve over time. Therefore, I'm just going to speculate about that evolved because it's microevolution, and that species was a special creation by God. And I mean, think about what you're putting yourself in the position to do. You really can never have an answer except what you want to make up, and it shouldn't be like that.
John?
It's all in, all those answers are in Genesis, God created, and you still failed to give me any example of one species changing into another. It's just observational science.
Well, she did. She's a chemist, not a biologist. So yeah. That's why she said she'll send you materials, and you can follow her on her Facebook page. What's your Facebook page, Dr. Trisankos?
Just Stacey Trisankos.
Stacey Trisankos.
I think so.
You don't remember your own Facebook page. What kind of scientist are you?
It might be S. Trisankos. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can definitely get you an example. I'm just saying I don't want to focus on, because I know what happens. If I name one example, you can say, no, it's not. I name another, you say, no, it's not. I'll give you some examples.
But, John, where we do agree that that Genesis is the word of God. You agree with that, Stacy?
Yes. Amen.
And as the word of God, it tells us really, really important stuff.
Yes.
Dr. Stacy Trisankos, it flew by today. I can't believe we've gone through an hour. Thanks so much for being with us again on Catholic Answers Live.
Thank you so much for having me.
And so you can find her as something Trisankos on Facebook. That's right. We don't know what. Just look.
Sorry.
You could just put it. Could you probably just search like Dr. Stacy Trisankos and it would find you somewhere?
Just Stacy. If you just search Stacy Trisankos, you'll find me.
Okay. And if there's a picture of her at the rodeo, you're at the right spot. Next hour, Carlo Broussard will be with us. We're going to talk a bit about why are you not Catholic? If you want to tell us, give us a call, 888-318-7884. We'll be right back on Catholic Answers Live.